Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the alleged biweekly podcast that's dedicated to the examination of conspiracy theories, conspiracy facts, and those who promote these theories. I will be your host, Mike Bowler, for this particular episode. I'm going to be talking about the Great American Eclipse on August 21st, 2017. As you may know, an eclipse is going to be seen here in the United States on August 21st. I'm recording this on the 16th for two reasons. One, there happens to be some conspiracies out there. And number two, in case you, if hopefully you get to hear this before the 21st, because I am planning on setting my telescopes up and try to watch the whole event starting at roughly 11:54 Central Time to roughly about 2:40, and I'm hoping to, if weather permits and my equipment works, maybe try to live stream the eclipse from my vantage point. I'm sure if you're really into this and you've probably got your favorites already blocked out, but if you're interested and you wanted to see, what I'm going to try to do is to live stream, maybe not necessarily the whole, 2 hours worth of eclipse, but maybe like the start, then when it goes into, because that where I'm located, only about 88% of the sun will be covered, so it won't be the full boat, but it should be pretty interesting. But I'm going to hopefully I can run a couple live streams either at the beginning and during the totality portion. I don't think I necessarily have to bore everybody with the sun and the moon moving out of position, but if everything works right, I should be on. That's my A plan. I got a few other plans in the works, maybe not necessarily as serious as having two telescopes and a camera running, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, it depends on the weather in the morning and weather at the time of the eclipse. I'm thinking of taking some time off from work and all that kind of fun stuff. So it should be interesting. So as I'm doing all this preparation work, I'm buying all of my filters and all the stuff I want to use to do all this. I started noticing in my Google alerts, the eclipse is supposed to be the harbinger of the end of the world. I decided to go look at it, and it turns out there's a small handful. There's not a lot out there on this, but apparently it's linked to biblical prophecy or the Planet X Nibiru story. Now, when I dug a little deeper, the Planet X Nibiru doesn't seem to be the, or at least those that have promoted it up to this point hasn't really been terribly vocal about it. I think they, I don't know, maybe the few holdouts of this particular theory may still promote it, but they're not, it wasn't like the 2012, the Maya calendar, end of the world prophecies or anything like that. So they're keeping kind of quiet. Maybe they learned a lesson, who knows. But again, the one story I read that the Planet X will appear went roughly about a month after this eclipse. Now, that seems to have it seems like other, actually people I've never heard of before. So these are, I'm still, maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit than I should, but I'm starting to read about some of these people who are promoting this idea that it's the end of the world. And I came across, but the one that seems to be quite interesting is there's a fellow who's been on Coast to Coast AM. He goes by the name of David Mead. And he is apparently, he writes for a website about Planet X. And I was trying to, when I was going through there, I found this, reasons that he believes and the proof, and again, I'm kind of using air quotes here, proof that this is going to, this eclipse is going to be the end of, marking the end of the world, start of Revelations 12, the beginning of the end of the world, the rapture, all that kind of fun stuff. So let me read from his website what he has said, that is the what he calls the facts, and then there's he has a section of speculation, so this will be interesting. Okay, according to David Mead, and this is coming from his, I don't know if it's a blog, apparently it's definitely some type of newsletter-ish, online newsletter about Planet X. These are the facts. The August eclipse occurs exactly 33 days before the Revelation 12 sign, beginning in the 33rd state, Oregon, and ending in South Carolina at the 33rd parallel. The 2017 eclipse max time is 2 minutes 42 seconds, and that's the 2024 ellipse max time is 4 minutes 28 seconds. Add both together and the total time is 7 minutes even. The day of the eclipse is August 21st, 2017, and then he has here minus parentheses 7 plus 7 plus 7 equals 21. The eclipse is also exactly 40 days from Yom Kippur, and the path of totality will be 70 miles wide. The zone of totality arrives onshore at 1716 Universal Time, the exact time of sunset in Jerusalem. 7 years later, another eclipse, and both form an X over the United States that rests right over a region in southern Illinois called Little Egypt. The exact point where these two paths cross is in a town of Makanda, which used to be called the Star of Egypt. The first major city that will witness the eclipse is Oregon State's capital, Salem. Salem is a shortened version of Jerusalem, which is the most prophetically significant city in the entire Bible. Jerusalem was originally called Salem in the days of Melanzenic, Genesis 14:18, and the closest road to the exact point where the two eclipses cross is Salem Road in Makanda, Illinois. The eclipse will be the first total solar eclipse that only affects the United States since 1776, founding of our country. Yeah, and now let's move into, now, and here's the area of speculation. The Space and Science Research Center performed a review of historical records for the past 350 years of volcanic activity, 1650 to 2009, and seismic activity, 1700 to or 2009, within the continental U.S. It then compared the results to the sun's record of sunspots, a measure of solar activity. The study reveals an impressive degree of correlation for global volcanic activity, greater than 80.6%. It also reveals a pattern for the largest U.S. earthquakes. Knowing this, let's examine what may transpire during the August 21st, 2017 rare total solar eclipse. Here's the deal. The New Madrid seismic zone is in direct path of the eclipse. The increased gravitational pull of the sun and moon alignment have any effects on planet Earth? The moon itself creates the tides. Its gravitational pull has enormous effects. So the question arises, when the moon and the sun are perfectly aligned during the eclipse, will the combined gravitational forces cause unusual activity as it passes over? So as you could tell from what I just read, Mr. Mead mixes biblical prophecy and kind of cherry-picks the science behind the eclipse. So As far as the science go, I know Stuart Robbins of the Exposing Pseudo-Astronomy podcast talked a lot about when the Earth, Moon, Sun, when they're in that alignment for an eclipse. I believe he's talked about the gravity and all that stuff. So I'm not going to really go into that part. The interesting part is the biblical prophecy part, because he also uses some numerology and things like, well, you know, Oregon being the 33rd state, South Carolina on the 33rd parallel, adding the two eclipse max times, coming up with 7, August 21st, 2017, 21, the 21st is 7 times 3, or 7 plus 7 plus 7. That's where apparently he gets that. Of course, the 7 years later, another eclipse will cross the United States in a place called Little Egypt. Of course, the shortened version of Salem is not the shortened version of Jerusalem. When I went to look that up, Salem is actually the Byzantine Latin for Jerusalem. I didn't know that. Had to look that up. It's kind of curious how Salem and Jerusalem. I mean, Salem is in Jerusalem, or the letters Salem is in makes up Jerusalem. So I was kind of curious why that was important. Of course, he makes the claim the eclipse will be the first total eclipse that only affects the United States since 1776. Of course, that's, you know, trying to link that to the founding of the country, but kind of forgetting that it was actually 99 years ago in 1918 when the exact, almost really close to the same path occurred. So apparently he's trying to link this to Revelations 12, which is apparently the passage of when Satan's cast down and the stars fall, and one of the, the run-up to the apocalypse. Again, take it for what it's worth. If you're a staunch believer in the Bible, not much I can say there, but the only reference that seems to be close to that might be, you could might link to an eclipse, is the description of the woman who clad in the sun, he stands in the moon. That's the only time where any mention of Earth, Moon, Sun kind of comes together. And the woman's supposed to represent Israel and supposed to represent Earth, and she gives birth to Israel, the child that gets hidden away from the demons that fell from the stars. Okay, so I know, at least from reading, and apparently, what's his name, John Hagee, who's really big into biblical prophecy, he's found all sorts of stuff buried in all the scriptures. So he seems to think. I mean, other than the standard line that is a sign of Revelations, he doesn't seem to be as vocal about it as Mr. Mead. So I'm kind of hoping maybe Hagee's out, new people are coming in. I don't know. It's hard to say, but that seems to be the Revelations and supposedly the end of the world connection. I'm sure in 2024, when the second eclipse occurs, again, there seems to be a few predictions that the 2017, 40 days later, is supposed to be the end of the end of the world. Nibiru is supposed to crash. So why worry about 2024? But if Nibiru doesn't crash, now there's the backup plan to say, oh yeah, 2024, when the next eclipse crosses the point in Little Egypt, that will be the beginning of the quote-unquote, maybe the end, or maybe that's when Nibiru is supposed to hit. So it's, you know, it's one of those, I'm almost positive this is what you're going to hear when these prophecies don't pan out. Oh, well, we may admit we miscalculated. It'll be in 2024, or it's going to be in the one following that. All that kind of fun stuff. So I'm going to kind of leave it at that. So, like I said, I'm not going to go into some of the science part about the gravity. And I know Stuart Robbins has done numerous shows on Planet X, Nibiru. I think he's done stuff on eclipses, blood moons. Blood moon seems to be another. I saw just one message on that, so I don't know if they're going to try to bring in blood moons on this one. And Stuart has already done some great work, so check out his show if you get a chance. Definitely worth listening. So that's what I know. That's what I wanted to report. I personally, it blows my mind. I think this is more classic pattern finding patterns, random patterns in real life. Certainly, Meade has cherry picked much of his evidence. I mean, it's interesting in his when he talks about it, when he starts speculating things like the gravitational pull. I think that's kind of I don't think there's any solid evidence to support gravity causing earthquakes. It's interesting because he makes the connection to the New Madrid fault line. Now, this is a real fault line. It's actually it's currently dormant. It's not as active as the West Coast, the Pacific Rim, where you have volcanoes and the subduction zone there along the Pacific Coast. But on an occasion, the New Madrid becomes active. And living here in Illinois, I remember one morning waking up to an earthquake, and it's like, Illinois don't get earthquakes. And sure enough, I checked the USGS, and sure enough, there was an earthquake roughly about 200 miles away. So, I mean, I heard everything rattling in the house, so I sent in a report, and it was pretty cool. So, this connection between that and it is a region that is commonly referred to as Little Egypt. Little Egypt is basically southern Illinois and along the Mississippi River. The furthest north is Cairo, Illinois. It's spelt Cairo, but it's pronounced Cairo if you're from southern Illinois. You have towns like Memphis. I know there's Memphis, which is probably one of the bigger towns, but there's all these little towns that have Egyptian-ish names. And most of these towns were founded roughly in the 1820s, 1830s, 1840s, at a time where there was a kind of a enhanced interest in Egypt and ancient Egypt. So towns like Cairo, Memphis. I think there's Thebes. There's all these these little towns that were being named after Egyptian cities, and there was like a mania, so to speak. This is about the time the Mormons were decoding the plates, and it was I think John Smith was decoding these plates that I think there were in some Egyptian language. I think that's what it was, if I remember right. So kind of coincidental, again, Egypt and its connection to Jerusalem and, the Jews. Trying to make something out of nothing is basically what they're trying to do. So I'm really just going to leave it at that. So I'd like to thank you for listening. I'm working real hard trying to get my Dirty Electricity show out, but it's not coming together. I'm sorry, I've kind of gone into this writing block, but I'm going to try to get that out. If not, I have a couple other fallbacks. I have a request to do a GMO show. I know I've done a chemtrails. I might have to do some more on that. Certainly, I've been spending maybe too much time trying to pay attention to what's happening in the news. There's all the craziness going on because I'm recording this. I was recording this Wednesday and Thursday, August 16th and 17th. And the weekend before there was the riots in Charlotte and the apparent fallout from that. So, I've found myself keep getting behind schedule, but hopefully this show, you should be hearing it before August 21st. That's kind of my plan. And thank you for listening, and I will be trying to get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.